Hello, and welcome to this week's reading of the Goochland Gazette. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Tom Ward, reading today from the April 16th issue of the Gazette. The front page article is entitled Armstrong Tapped as New Goochland County Public Schools Superintendent. This is a contributed report. The Goochland County School Board has named Dr. Andrew Andy Armstrong as the next superintendent of Goochland County Public Schools. The announcement came during the board's regular meeting on April 8th of 2025. Armstrong currently serves as the Associate Superintendent of Programs at the Virginia Department of Education, a position he has held since 2023. In this role, he has led statewide initiatives in accountability, career and technical education, innovation, behavioral health, and student safety. During his tenure at the Virginia Department of Education, he supported the launch of 15 college partnership lab schools, enhanced work-based learning opportunities through collaboration with workforce and business partners, improved the parental notification processes for student safety, and expanded access to dual enrollment to increase student access to transferable college credits. Armstrong worked in Goochland County Public Schools from 2016 to 2023, serving as Assistant Superintendent of Administration and later as Interim Superintendent. During his tenure in Goochland, he played a key role in leading the division's long-range facilities planning, which resulted in the construction of the county's first new school in over 50 years. Armstrong also spearheaded significant safety enhancements through strong partnerships with Goochland Fire Rescue and Goochland County Sheriff's Office and championed competitive market-aligned pay for teachers and staff. His educational career includes experience as a high school Spanish teacher and as both a middle and high school principal. I am honored to have the opportunity to return to Goochland and support the amazing work of the division's talented team, Armstrong said. I intend to work collaboratively with the board and community as we complete the current school year and develop plans that maintain the engagement, energy, and expectations that have distinguished the school division across Virginia. School Board Chair Meredith Moses expressed confidence in Armstrong's leadership and his ability to build on the division's success. Dr. Armstrong has a deep understanding of our community and a strong commitment to educational excellence, Moses said. His leadership experience at the local and state levels uniquely positions him to guide Goochland County Public Schools into the future while maintaining the high standards and student-centered approach that define our schools. We look forward to working with him to continue advancing opportunities for all students. Armstrong will officially assume his duties as superintendent on April 22nd of 2025. That was a contributed report where Andy Armstrong has been tapped as the new superintendent for Goochland County Public Schools. Next in this issue, Rockville Opportunity Corridor Improvement Projects now underway in Goochland. This is a contributed report. Goochland County is pleased to announce significant roadway improvements to the Rockville Opportunity Corridor, or the ROC, on Ashland Road, Route 623. To accommodate developing businesses and increased access for residents and visitors, roadway and infrastructure improvements are planned for the ROC. Projects at key locations along Ashland Road include installing traffic lights, adding entrance roads and turn lanes. The improvements will reduce congestion and enhance safe travel through the corridor. We're committed to balancing progress with the needs of our community, said Sarah Worley, Goochland County Director of Economic Development. The improvements will not only enhance the corridor's infrastructure, but also invest in a prosperous future for our residents, businesses, and visitors. The planned roadway improvement projects include, number one, temporary Ashland Road I-64 interchange improvements, number two, Project Rocky Ashland Road improvements. Number 3, AXIAL or Axial, Rockville 64 Ashland Road improvements. Number 4, Ashland Road and I-64 Divergent Diamond Interchange. And number 5, Ashland Road I-64 Park and Ride relocation. Construction is now underway with anticipated phase completion dates starting in spring of 2025 and continuing through summer of 2029. The temporary Ashland Road I-64 interchange improvements and the Project Rocky Ashland Road improvements are fully funded by Project Rocky. The Axial Rockville 64 Ashland Road improvements are fully funded by Axial Rockville 64. We appreciate the significant investment our project partners have made in our community and look forward to continuing our collaborative efforts, said Worley. Motorists are advised that road construction will be taking place in the area. While every effort will be made to minimize disruptions, the following traffic impacts can be expected. Number 1, brief traffic impacts during daytime hours. Number 2, nightly closures to accommodate construction. And number 3, single lane closures with flaggers to direct traffic during work hours. Residents, businesses, and visitors are encouraged to stay informed and involved through the construction process. Regular updates will be provided on work zone activities, and safety remains a top priority as travelers navigate the Rockville Opportunity Corridor on Ashland Road. Please stay alert of work zone activities and travel safely through the corridor. To learn more about the project and stay up to date on construction progress and schedules, please visit goochlandva.us/ROC. About the Rockville Opportunity Corridor, located in eastern Goochland on Route 623 and Ashland Road, the ROC is a growing business development district that supports the county's target industry sectors. The 3.5-mile corridor is positioned for growth as a premier destination for business, innovation, and community. That was a contributed report on the road improvement projects now underway in the Rockville Opportunity Corridor. Also in this issue, Byrd Elementary hosts school-wide STEM Day with community support. This is a contributed report. On Friday, April 11th, students at Byrd Elementary School experienced an exciting day of innovation, collaboration, and learning during a special school-wide STEM Day. From pre-K through fifth grade, students engaged in hands-on activities that brought science, technology, engineering, and math, hence STEM, to life in meaningful and memorable ways. A unique aspect of the day was the partnership with middle school students from the Quest class at Goochland Middle School. Under the guidance of their teacher, Mr. Rohrer, 23 middle school students visited Byrd to lead STEM activities tailored to each grade level. These activities were carefully designed to align with Virginia Standards of Learning, or SOLs, selected by Byrd's grade level teachers. Throughout the day, students rotated between working on the STEM challenges created by the middle schoolers and visiting the library for a special guest reader experience. Guest readers, many of whom were community members and local experts, shared stories and insights related to the STEM themes and SOL content. The library sessions added a literacy-rich layer to the day, connecting learning across subjects and grade levels. The event was spearheaded by Byrd's gifted resource teacher, Megan Donovan, who envisioned the day earlier in the school year. "It was beautiful to see this idea come to life," said Donovan. "The collaboration between schools and the involvement of our community created something truly special for our students." Byrd Elementary would like to extend heartfelt thanks to the central office leaders who supported the event and helped make it possible. Jen Wagoner, Steve Geyer, and Bruce Watson, and school board member Meredith Moses. Special thanks also go to Sky Brickhouse from the Virginia Cooperative Extension Office and Keith Burgess from the Monacan Soil and Water Conservation District, who shared their expertise with students and participated in the day's activities. STEM Day at Byrd Elementary was a powerful example of what happens when students, educators, and community members come together to create rich, engaging learning experiences. The excitement and energy from the day will no doubt inspire students for weeks to come. That was a contributed report on Byrd Elementary School hosting a school-wide STEM Day. From the parenting advice page of this week's Gazette, The Power of Play by Dr. Claire McCarthy of Harvard Health Publishing. In this increasingly digital world, it's not surprising that children are spending more and more of their time on some sort of device. And while there is certainly much to be learned, explored, and created using devices, there are skills that devices can't always teach. Executive function, emotional regulation, and general physical skills are important for children to learn and practice as they grow. The best way for children to learn these skills is through play. That's why we say that play is the work of a child. As devices become more pervasive, and as many children become more scheduled with lessons and organized activities, making time for device-free play can become forgotten. Here are some age-based games and activities that help support child development. For ages 4 to 7, in the first 3 years of life, play is about literally building brain connections and basic skills. As kids grow, play builds on those skills and gives them opportunities to think, be creative, cooperate with one another, and use their bodies. Freeze dance, red light, green light, Simon Says, or Duck, Duck, Goose are all games that kids get active while reinforcing self-regulation and cooperation. I Spy, Bingo, and other matching games are great for building memory and cognitive skills. Try starting a story and having others add to it to see what plot twists emerge. It's a great way to encourage creativity. You can do something similar with a drawing. Start with something simple, such as a house or a boat, and take turns embellishing this, narrating as you do. Tips for ages 8 to 12. Older children are capable of more complicated activities, such as doing jigsaw puzzles or solving crosswords or other word puzzles together. Playing games that involve memory and planning, such as chess, battleship, Go, or Clue. Playing a sport or engaging in other physical activities such as skating, yoga, or running. Being active together is not only healthy for both of you, it sets a good lifelong example. Learning an instrument. And making things. Teach them to cook, build, sew, crochet, grow a garden. This too can be a form of play. And finally, in the teens, as kids grow into teens, they naturally seek more independence and time with their peers. Opportunities for play take different forms depending on personal interests. Sports, cooking, music, theater, and even video games in moderation can encourage creativity, life skills, and fun. That was an article entitled The Power of Play by Dr. Claire McCarthy of the Harvard Health Publishing. Switching now to the sports pages, Goochland Boys Lacrosse off to program best start at the varsity level by Robbie Fletcher, sports editor. In its third varsity season, Goochland Boys Lacrosse program is off to its best ever start, holding a 3-1 record with wins over Patrick Henry, Culpeper County, and Highland Springs. The Bulldogs, led by Dan Strong in his first season in charge, average 11 goals a night so far this season and have yet to allow any opponent to reach double-digit scoring figures against their defense. With 10 seniors and a large group of returning contributors from last season, Strong has a confident, energetic group that's taking the Bulldogs to a new level in year three of their program's varsity history. The offense has been led by playmakers like Patrick Harlow, Andrew Craddock, and Alex Corbett, while the defense is spearheaded by goalie Wyatt Richardson and defenseman Austin Rush and Slade Saunier. Strong told the Goosland Gazette that the group is clicking well overall, but is focused on tightening up their communication and consistency across all four quarters. That again was an article by Robbie Fletcher on the Goosland Boys lacrosse program being off to their best start at the varsity level. Also in sports this week, Bulldog Bats Catch Fire Late in Win Over Black Knights by Robbie Fletcher. Hosting the Charlottesville Black Knights on a rainy Thursday night, Goosland held a narrow 5-3 lead entering the bottom of the sixth when a hot batting streak iced the game to break a two-game losing skid. The 8-4 win felt definitive in that sixth-inning frame when three straight Goosland batters connected on the ball, first with a Will Johns line drive single, then an RBI double down the left field line from Charlie Harrington, and lastly a decisive crack of the bat from Jackson Bell that sailed over the center field fence for a two-run home run and an 8-3 lead. The Black Knights, with their backs against the wall in the top of the seventh, cut into the lead with just a single run, but Goosland's defense, led by closer Kalen Ray, wrapped up the rain game with a fly out and a ground out to give Goosland an 8-4 win that moves its record to 3-3. Bell's explosive home run was the big play of the game, but it was part of an overall solid hitting performance from the team, which finished with 13 hits against Charlottesville two-pitcher rotation. Junior Bowden Pisco got the win on the mound for Goosland, serving up 10 strikeouts in four innings, walking two batters with six hits off of him. Bell was the one to get Goosland on the board first, singling on a grounder near second base to send Johns home for an early 1-0 lead. The Black Knights responded with three runs in the second inning for a 3-1 advantage, but Nafis Summers nailed a line drive RBI single, Johns tripled on a fly ball down the right field line, and Harrington hit a sacrifice fly to give Goosland three runs and a 4-3 lead entering the third. It was a lead the Bulldogs wouldn't give up for the rest of the game, in large part due to a strong showing defensively that held their opponent to under five runs for the fifth time this season. When Pisco doubled on a grounder in the third inning to send Isaac Height home, it gave Goosland a 5-3 lead that would stand until the fireworks of the sixth, which helped deliver Goosland's third win of the season. That was an article by Robbie Fletcher entitled Bulldogs Bats Catch Fire Late in Win Over the Charlottesville Black Knights. Also from Robbie Fletcher in sports, Goosland softball recovers from loss to dominate Charlottesville. The Goosland Bulldogs saw a three-game win streak snapped this week, but their recovery was a quick and emphatic statement. The Bulldogs, whose record is 5-2, were stifled in a 3-0 road loss to Monticello on Tuesday, being held to just five hits against the Mustangs, but 2 days later, on April 10th, they hosted the Charlottesville Black Knights and quickly got back to their winning ways. Goosland won 17-4 over Charlottesville, scoring 10-plus runs for the third time this year, including seven runs in the bottom of the fourth inning, which pushed them over the top in a game that was called off before the bottom of the fifth inning. Freshman Avery Newman got the win for Goosland, not giving up a single hit or run, striking out three batters and walking one in a three-inning stint. Goosland opened with a 2-0 lead off two groundouts in the opening frame, but extended the lead even further with consecutive four-run innings to go up 10-0. Sadie Grimes got things cooking in the second inning, sending a runner home on a ground ball single, while Kaylee Markey scored on a pass ball. Allison Croker, then went home on a sacrifice fly and Grimes on a lineout for a 6-0 lead entering the third. All four runners scored on pass balls in the third inning, bringing the advantage to 10-0, and in the fourth inning, the Bulldogs scored their 7 runs on 6 hits. Bannon Johnson and Riley Shapiro delivered base hits that both sent 2 runners home to bring the lead to 17-4. The Black Knights had a chance to extend the game with a big 5th inning, but it was 3 up and 3 down behind the pitching of closer Riley McCain, earning Goochland its 5th win of the season. That article by Robbie Fletcher was entitled, Goochland Softball Recovers from a Loss to Dominate Charlottesville. Also in sports this week, Beck bears down and leads St. Christopher's past collegiate by Weldon Bradshaw, special correspondent. As twilight casts long shadows across the well-manicured turf of Jacobs Field on Tuesday evening, St. Christopher's baseball coach Tony Zemenderer strode purposely to the mound in hopes of calming the nerves of his freshman pitcher, who had suddenly found himself in a not-so-pleasant dilemma. It was the top of the 7th inning, and Gibson Beck, who had pitched exquisitely against the first 5 collegiate batters he had faced in relief, had just surrendered back-to-back hits, a sharp 2-out infield single to Michael Chambers, followed by a home run over the 325-foot left field fence to Carter Mitchell. And now, in a blink of an eye, the Saints' 3-run lead was down to 1. I just wanted to make sure he wasn't rattled and was ready to pitch to the next guy, Zemenderer said. Actually, what I told him was, hey, you're doing your job. You're supposed to throw strikes. Go at 'em. Mitchell just happened to beat you that time. You're still up a run. Keep pitching. Beck did. He retired the side, and as the night chill settled in, the Saints claimed a well-earned 6-5 victory. He wasn't rattled, said Zemenderer, who's coached the Saints, whose record is 8-4 this year, for 38 seasons. He was great. He recognized that the guy put a swing on it. It happens. That's baseball. The top of the 7th jam wasn't the first Beck faced against the visiting Cougars, whose record is 6-5, and they are ranked 5th in the Times-Dispatch Top 10. He'd entered the game an inning earlier after Jack Callahan and Owen Prusek delivered consecutive singles with no outs and his team clinging to a 4-3 lead, and now, following a wild pitch, they held fourth on 2nd and 3rd, respectively. 3 batters later, he was out of the inning. Just threw strikes, Beck said. I mixed the fastball and sinker well, kept the sinker low, and the fastball's up in the zone, trying to get a bat on the ball, get them to hit it to our guys and get outs. The Saints had jumped ahead early with a 3-run 2nd inning. Tony Smith's single to right scored Bryce Neely from 2nd after he was hit by a pitch and advanced a base when Austin Wrinkle walked. Beck followed with a single to right center, scoring Wrinkle and Smith. I had 2 strikes on me, Beck said. I fouled one off right before. I was thinking up the middle. I saw a fastball up and drove it all the way. The Saints went up 4-0 in the third when courtesy runner Wes Connor raced home on a wild pitch. The Cougars made their statement with 3 runs in the fourth. Will Quinby scored on an infield out, Chambers scored on Prusek's single to right, and Callahan scored on Harrison Baxter's sacrifice fly to center. The Saints pushed across 2 runs in the bottom of the 6th. Willie Hurt led off with a single and advanced to 3rd on a throwing error. Henry Knighton then walked, putting runners on 1st and 3rd. Joseph Connor stroked a single to center, scoring Hurt as Knight moved to 2nd. Knight hustled to 3rd on an infield out, then scored on a wild pitch to put the Saints up a seemingly comfortable 6-3. In that situation, 1 out, 1st and 3rd, you're looking for something you can drive, said Connor, a senior catcher. It was a fastball, middle in. I didn't get all of it, but I was able to put the ball in the right spot and drove in the run. From there, it was pass the baton and keep the momentum going, except the Cougars did all within their power to stop it. And Beck, though he bent, refused to break. "I was definitely okay," said Beck of his mindset following Mitchell's blast. "I was thinking, all right, that kid's good. I'm a freshman. He's 5 years older than I am. I'm out here. I might as well get this last guy." If you worry about the last guy, if you let that get in your head, you're in a bad spot. Two outs, your team's up, just go in, throw strikes, and get it done. That was an article by special correspondent Weldon Bradshaw entitled "Beck Bears Down, Leads St. Christopher's Past Collegiate." In our last article from the sports pages, Sports Backers All-Star Spotlight, St. Gertrude's Lydia Stumpf, by Matt Kiewit of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. High school senior Lydia Stumpf enjoys spending time at the hospital, and that's a good thing because she plans to make a career of it. "I like that environment," she says. Stumpf, who's 17, is a three-sport athlete and class president for both her junior and senior year at St. Gertrude High School with a 4.6 cumulative and weighted GPA. She plans to major in biochemistry at Notre Dame, where she will go to school starting next fall. She wants to become a surgeon or an emergency medicine doctor. Stumpf also volunteers at St. Mary's Hospital in Richmond's West End. "It's pretty fast-paced, and it feels the most impactful," she says. "I feel like when I'm working, I'm actually doing something that's directly changing someone's life." Speaking of fast pace, Stumpf plays soccer, tennis, and basketball for the Gators. "Basketball is the most competitive and therefore requires the most commitment," she says, "but tennis is Stumpf's favorite sport to play. Tennis is new for Stumpf. She picked it up in the eighth grade. It's more of an individual sport," says Stumpf, "so I think that you don't put pressure on other people, just on yourself, and it's kind of easier to think through." She's played basketball the longest, since the first grade. Playing also helped create a close bond between Stumpf and Robin D'Onofrio, her coach since freshman year, who has become a mentor. "She understands my priorities, and she cares a lot to keep updated on them, which she definitely doesn't have to do," Stumpf said. Basketball also kept Lydia and her dad, Adam, close growing up. "He was my coach from first to eighth grade," she said. "It was an interesting dynamic, but it worked better than most others, I think." Lydia is close with her entire family. Her younger sister, Ava, is quite different. Lydia says their differences balance each other out. "I'm the more academic one, and my sister's the more athletic one," Lydia says. "So we sort of differ that she's big on basketball. She does AAU and travel and all that, but we go to the gym together, and we fight a lot, but I think it's like wholesome fighting." Finally, there's Lydia's mother, Stephanie. "She goes through all of my ups and downs with me," Lydia says. "My dad is definitely the loudest on the sideline, but she's always uplifting me when I get back from games." Stumpf is also a member of the Sports Backers Times-Dispatch ALL Stars program, which stands for Active Living Leadership, which she says helped expand her understanding of the importance of active living. Active living could literally be a walk in a park or using a sidewalk instead of driving, and it doesn't necessarily have to be through a team or an organization, Stumpf says. The Notre Dame-bound St. Gertrude senior added that the program helped her find her voice as a leader. It also helped her get out of her comfort zone, which in the end helped Stumpf build confidence. "I didn't know anyone," she said. "I didn't know what I was doing. I hadn't really started networking before, which is something that Director of Youth Programs Jackie Quinlan is big on. So just being able to do that and grow in that area and become more confident is going to help me for a while." That's all the time we have for the Goochland Gazette this week. I'm Tom Ward for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.